Back here on Wildcat Insider, John Kurtz, Wyatt Thompson, Brennan Mintz, the crew with you here today. We are on until 5 o'clock, then I'll be heading over to Bramlage. We'll have K-State women's basketball pregame taking over at 5:30. They entertain the Stanford Cardinal, who have made it to 10 straight Sweet 16s. Chance for K-State to change that. And hey, credit to the Wildcats for the way that they beat Drake. That was a really tricky game in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The Wildcats win 67-54. Bree Lewis had 23-11, and probably the most impressive part to me, Drake had a 22-game win streak. They averaged 83 points per game. K-State holds them to a season-low 54 points, almost 30 below their season average. I mean, I was incredibly impressed with what they were able to do.
Home, road, or otherwise, that really is the story, isn't it? And I listened to and watched part of the game. We were getting back at about the time they were playing, of course, and didn't get a chance to get over there, but I heard afterwards, you know, Coach Mitty in the postgame press conference talking about how good the defense was, how good Bree Lewis was with the 23-11. This was a pretty good Drake team. And to win like that, I think, does say a lot about the maturity of the K-State team, led by those seniors, in particular Bree Lewis and Kindred Wiesman, and now we'll see what they can do with Stanford, who's been, if nothing else over the years, pretty darn consistent.
Yeah. Well, we had a Twitter question I asked for some, and someone did ask, haven't paid much attention to the women this season. What should I expect tonight? You know, to me, and again, I'm not the best guy to answer this question either, but Stanford seems comparable to a Texas, maybe is the best comparison that you have in the Big 12. And K-State played two games to within single digits, I believe, of Texas. I mean, they were relatively close to the Longhorns.
Yeah, I think that's probably about as close as you'll get. I don't know if they're necessarily as athletic as Texas, but I think they're certainly there size-wise. I think they have maybe three girls, maybe four, that are 6'3 or what have you in that vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep running them at you. They can shoot it. They're a pretty good defensive team. So, yeah, I think Texas is probably – and again, like you, I'll say it straight up, I'm probably not the world's best authority on this particular subject. I have not even seen Stanford play. I'm just relating here what I've been told, that I think they're a really solid ball club that's pretty good. Are they national championship good? I think – you could maybe throw them in there, but I would say Texas is a pretty good summation,
The other thing, too, that I'll add is that K-State is not going to be shell-shocked by a team like Stanford at all, having played UConn, Baylor three times, Texas twice.
Yeah.
I mean, K-State has seen a lot of teams of this ilk throughout the year. They have prepared themselves with the schedule they played.
It's a perfect point because I relate back to that postgame press conference of Jeff Mitty after the game the other day against Drake on Saturday, and somebody asked about how much will playing Connecticut help you. And certainly I would be paraphrasing here, but generally what he said was, wait, it isn't just Connecticut. You know, we've played Baylor three times, and we've played Texas twice, and we've played Iowa State twice, and Oklahoma twice. And so they're here and where they are because they've done quite well or awfully darn well against a really, really, really solid schedule this year. And I don't think in any way, shape, or form they will be intimidated. I think they understand what lies ahead of them and the challenges of it, but intimidated, no.
Well, heck, even another part of it is playing South Carolina last year in the NCAA tournament.
Correct.
On the road. I mean, a
yeah.
lot of these girls yeah. were there for that game too. So yeah. they are no stranger to playing teams like this. I am looking forward to getting out and seeing that tonight with a spot in the Sweet 16 on the line. A lot of coaching news in addition to all the NCAA tournament games and everything that was happening. I could not have been more shocked to see yesterday afternoon when I got a text and looked at my phone, and all the text said, it just said, Underwood news is shocking. And I thought, well, what? Underwood losing yesterday to Michigan? What am I looking at for? And I just search on Twitter, Brad Underwood, and first thing I see was that picture with him with Illinois' athletic director. And I totally taken aback by that. Could not believe what happened. And now some of the details have emerged. It seems to make some more sense here. I can understand how it happened, but still, to have Brad Underwood leave after 1 year from Illinois was one of the more shocking things I've had happen news-wise in a while.
I mentioned a moment ago that once we landed from Sacramento and gathering gear and heading to the car and women's basketball going, that was the next thing. I looked at my phone and got a couple of texts that, like you, said Underwood to Illinois, and I thought, no. And it became rather obvious rather quickly that this was true and was done, not just potential, but done some, 20 hours after their defeat. It was shocking. I will tell you, after reading Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman and reading and visiting with some of the Oklahoma State people, as shocked as you think you are,
can you imagine?
Let me just tell you, they're swimming in it. Just blown away by it, I think. Seriously. And I think all of us are. It just, what's the old saying? It just came out of left field?
Yeah.
This one was past the fence out of left field,
right.
Wasn't it?
Right.
It was for me.
You know, I mean, it's similar. I can remember, and I always tell people that in my heyday of just being a complete fan before I had started to work in anything at all,
right,
when I was so invested, the biggest meltdown I had as a fan was when Bob Huggins left and when I found out about that. I mean, it is very much similar to that, except this time it's not even going home. It's going to a job that you'd have to feel like is, I mean, perhaps, I don't know how you'd view that historically, if it is a step up from Oklahoma State. I think Illinois may have a higher upside just because of their proximity to Chicago and being a state school, like the only school in the state, really. But I don't know.
Well, that's you hit it there. That's what makes it most uniquely different. You can argue over the course of history who has more prestige, who has this, who has that. But I think for the right person, whether that's Brad or not, I guess we'll find out. But for the right person who can get the right kids from Chicago, the state of Illinois, I don't think you would argue with me on this one, the state of Illinois is known for its high school basketball. You get the right guy in there, you can win. I think it would – not that you can't in Stillwater. I think they've proven that they can. But there is pretty much direct competition everywhere around you there. In Illinois, not quite as much, right?
Yeah.
That's the way I see it, right or wrong.
Man, Brad Underwood in a decade has gone from being the director of basketball ops on Bob Huggins' staff to now – one of the most sought-after coaches in college basketball, making $3 million a year.
Well, even if you go a year prior to that, he was a junior college coach in Florida.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it, yes.
Oh, my gosh. You talk about ascending. That really is pretty stunning when you think about it. But on the other hand, I don't think any of us would, excuse me, not recognize that this is a guy, if nothing else, has paid his dues.
No doubt.
I mean,
you have to feel good. Like, I feel so happy for Brad, you know, if this is what is going to work out for him. I mean, the guy deserves it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did a good job in Stillwater. It's still just shocking, though, that it was just for a year. Not going to lie about that. That was a crazy development from my perspective.
And I know it sounded like at first it was just all about money. I mean, he had made, it was about $1 million this year at Oklahoma State, but I think there had been agreement there that if you win, if you prove yourself, mm-hmm. obviously that's going to be renegotiated because, you know, to be competitive in the Big 12, you're talking upwards of $2 million probably. It was not just that he's going to make $3 million at Illinois. The Barry Trammell article that you mentioned really referenced, according to his sources, that they had offered $2.2 million, and part of their holdup was one of the biggest things Mike Holder did that upset the fans there and really handcuffed their athletic department was giving way too big of a contract to Travis Ford after 1 year. He had a good first year in 2008, 2009. They gave him a 10-year extension, way too much money, a crazy buyout, and they wanted to avoid that. But it sounded like the mistake was stating that then to Brad Underwood, and he takes it as a slight to be compared to, like, hey, you may be Travis Ford again.
I understand all of that and respect all of it. For me, it wasn't – and I'm not in the business of – trying to stand behind Mike Holder, but the way I would look at it is, it wasn't so much the money that he was giving Travis Ford, it was the length of.
Right.
That, for me,
it's
that
just
was
a bad contract.
Well, 10 years was just too long for from my perspective. Again, I'm no expert in athletic directorship by any stretch of the imagination, but that just seems so far out there based on everything else that is somewhat equivalent around the country. And sometimes you do get your – I'm sure at the time it's easy for us to sit here after the fact and say that, but at the time after that first year, you wonder how many people around the league were saying, boy, you better lock him up. Somebody's going to come get him. Right?
Yeah. It's like
it didn't work out that way, but I'm sure it was being said.
It's just a fascinating situation to me because I could understand all angles of it.
Well,
I mean,
sure.
There are just so many things at play. You know, you see something come out like Brad Underwood to Illinois, and you're shocked and don't understand, and you want to think that it's one simple he's chasing the money or whatever it is. This was a very complicated, fluid situation with a lot of things happening.
It's such a crazy business anyway. As an example, Twitter's not the end-all, but it's a perfect example here, I think, of what we're talking about. I read on Twitter today, and I have no idea whether it's true, false, or somewhere in between, that Steve Alford's buyout at UCLA is, quote, it was called, quote, north of $7 million.
Oof.
Do you think that's true?
Well, if you have the numbers on Brad Underwood's buyout that were released today, you might believe it because...
Well, here's the other point of the story. If it is north of $7 million, okay, and Indiana still owes Tom Crean $4 million, before you start paying your coach a monthly salary, that's $11 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get into bad situations.
There you go.
Brad Underwood, by the way, and I know this is a popular thing that K-State fans were wanting to know. Okay, he had a $6 million buyout at Oklahoma State. Now he's going to a different school. Yeah, don't get your hopes up. The buyout at Illinois is $8.5 million this year, $7.4 million year two, $6.3 million year three. So you're talking year four before it even goes below where it's at Oklahoma State. Illinois is not stupid. They're going to make an investment in this type of guy. I think they want to make sure that he's staying put.
I think you could even say... or some would, I don't know if all of us would say it, but I think some that follow basketball, you know, like say a national writer like a Jeff Goodman or somebody like that, Seth Davis, what Illinois did there was pull off a pretty good one,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, whether you buy into that at 100% or not, I guess is all up in the air, but there wasn't, you know, most time when things happen, there's a little bit of a story to it, or you hear a few rumblings, or there's a little bit of smoke before you see the flames. This was like, boom, done. Pretty well done.
They went out, got what they wanted, locked him up. Now looks like they're keeping a fence around him. And hey, tip your cap to them. They did it. They got it done. Coming up, we will, here on Wildcat Insider, discuss not only next year's K-State Hoops team, what it's going to look like, but also we did have some football coaching news, which has been a rarity the last 5-6 years. We're having even more of it here this offseason, so we'll get to the change coming up here on Wildcat Insider.